Greetings, adventure, and welcome back to Return to EverQuest, a podcast where we revisit and discuss the classic game of EverQuest. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the state of our podcast and the gnome crew spelunking deep in SoulSec's eye. As always, we want to thank you for subscribing to our show and leaving those amazing ratings. Now, onward, my friends, let's go! So, guys, we finally made it. I think last episode with Zade God was our 10th podcast episode. This will be our 11th episode of Return to EverQuest. So as a podcast newbie, I feel like we've just ascended into a whole new tier of play. It's like when you hit level 20 in EverQuest and you can finally give yourself that surname and you get to hit as a melee damage dealer for a lot more damage. So how do you all feel about it?
I'll start off. Playing EverQuest and participating in this podcast is definitely a fun hobby for me. That's how I view it. And it feels great that we've made it to this landmark and continue to receive support from people in the EverQuest community. So I'm really interested to see where this journey takes us forward. I mean, I definitely never predicted that our EverQuest experience would take us down the path of dungeon diving and storytelling, but I'm really liking it. And I wanted to say to all of our listeners, thank you for all of your support. We appreciate it.
Yeah, right. Thank you all. But yeah, it has been quite a fun experience, right? After such a long time away from EverQuest, I think like for me, it was almost 2 decades. And once we came back, I really didn't know how things have changed and if it was for the better or for the worse. But as we have seen, the EQ community is so resilient, to say the least, right? I've had such a great time revisiting the game and taking our time to fully explore the different zones we go into. I've also been having quite a blast with this podcast. You know, the characters themselves have been slowly evolving, and I am enjoying the storytelling part quite a lot. And I always look forward to every session that we have to see how they progress in the storyline. Because as everybody knows now, we don't know how it happens, right? Because we take turns kind of grabbing where it left off and then making new adventures for the different gnomes. So it's great. It's also nice to discuss the backgrounds of the zones we visit, since it's one of the facets of the gameplay that is often overlooked.
Yeah, I think for me, it's been like getting into the podcast. It started out, you know, we're just going to kind of come back and play the game. But I think I really enjoyed building the lore, building our own stories in it. And I find that it's difficult with EverQuest to like find a place that has consolidated lore. And so as like a casual EverQuest lover myself before the podcast, I was always kind of frustrated with like, where can I learn more about the zones and the story and feel the world of EverQuest? And I feel kind of like we've been doing that in our podcast. And it's been so much fun to like role play our gnomes in that world. And I think it shows why EverQuest has been so successful, even after all this time, because the lore is so rich. And we see that when we tell our stories in each episode, we visit the zone. And as we travel through the zones, we see all the connections. And it's really neat and it's really fun. So for everybody listening, I hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. We can't wait to see what lies ahead. So with that, we'll segue to today's really discussion topic, which is going to be SoulSec's Eye. So after our last episode, the gnome crew was on the heels of Meldrath the Malignant. And they knew he was going to be visiting Mistmoor Castle. But alas, before they could act, they were diverted far away to SoulSec's Eye. So we're going to dive into our story and see what Carlos has in store for us.
After crushing Garinol in the depths of unrest, Nerfenperf realized there were no whispers or songs about their exploits in Najenna. Since he's an empty shell, devoid of all self-love, he subsists in the adulation from others with exaggerated tales of their journey. These lack of stories was perceived by Nerfenperf as a direct affront to all the risks the group has overcome during their adventures. Evernerd and Ticklewings would acquiesce to Nerfenperf's need to circle back to Lavastorm Mountains once again and ensure the merchants heard of his bravery and prowess. And so, the hardy group decides to journey back to the scorching lands of Lavastorm and become a walking collection of beef jerkies, just for the sake of Nerfenperv's bruised ego. The inhospitable mountains offer no help in improving Ticklewink's mood, having to circle back to a place he thought he will never see again. The scalding smoke made it difficult to keep their eyes open, and taking a normal breath of air was even more difficult. The unwelcoming environment would burn their insides with each walking step. As they slowly traversed through all the smoke and lava rivers, a very small figure appeared in the distance. Judging by the size, it was one of their kin, a gnome, all alone in this forsaken place. But once close enough, the group was astonished to see it was a young boy. "What is he doing all by himself in a place like this?" they all thought.
"Help! Help!"
beckoned the boy.
"I am lost! I need help! You look like you have seen plenty of action and I am desperate!"
Well, Nerf and Perf is delighted to find yet another excuse to gain admiration.
"Fear not, you frail child! Captain Nerf and Perf is here, with his trusty sidekicks!"
he exclaims, as his illusion human spell fizzles. Evernerd and Ticklewings can only bury their faces in their palms. Tickle's core instincts then kick in. He summons water for the poor boy, and also heals his burns. Ticklewings was able to calm him and ask what he was doing all alone out here in the first place.
"Papa was in need of a good paying job to support our family. I have 14 hungry brothers and sisters back home, and things have not been the same since Beltreth began to expand his business in Akanon. Beat an old-fashioned union guy, Papa just couldn't do it. He did hear that Solosek Mining Company was hiring, and they provide hazard pay and plenty of overtime for any intrepid gnomes willing to relocate. It was a month ago that he made the journey, but we have not heard from him since. So it fell to me, the oldest of my brothers and the man of the house, to find out what happened. I just got lost out here. It's just so hot. I curse Solosek Row and all who follow that burning prince. They believe being mean is the only way to get things they want in this world. They are not out to make friends, only to earn respect. Most of their ranks are made out of rude wizards."
Ticklewing suddenly feels a fleeting sense of trepidation and carefully glances at Evernerd. Would he? Could he? He thinks for a moment. After all, he does check almost all the boxes. No, no. Tickle quickly shakes off the thought and feels embarrassed to ever doubt a trusty member of the group. But as he turns back to speak to the child, Tickle detects the same thoughts in Nerf and Perf's face, something he hoped went unnoticed by Evernerd.
"Please, misters, help me find my papa. He's the only thing I have left."
It will be a tough quest. Mining operations are located in Solosek's Eye, a cavernous dungeon crawling with fire goblins, who are well organized. These pesky goblins love the heat so much that they have built fireplaces inside their dwellings. And mind you, they live inside a dormant volcano. They are presided over by a king whose rule has not been challenged. It is important to note that it is quite rare to find such a stable society of goblins in all of Norrath. The main reason is simple to understand. The king is backed by Lord Nagafin. The Red Dragon compelled the goblins to build him a lair in exchange for his support. They have also formed an uneasy alliance with the Gnome Mining Company inside Solosek's Eye. The Fire Goblins are notoriously reclusive and have built a stronghold deep underground that is filled with created traps and fake walls. The gnome crew will also find winding narrow paths along the journey. One slip and you'll be welcome into a nice hot bath of lava. Nerf and Perf's self-worth will have to wait. The group eagerly agreed to help a gnome in need. They will find out what happened to Papa and enter the gates of hell.
So, Carlos, that was a good story. I'm not going to lie. I like the music you had there. the, you know, artistic flares, the voice acting. Nerf and Perf, you know, a little harsh on Nerf and Perf, but let it slide. But I think it's good. Good job. Derek, what did you think of the story?
I thought it was great, man. I just think you need to focus less on Evernerd. Let his story play out there, sir.
What is going on? Nothing was made up in that story. Everything is true. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Derek. When it comes to Nerf and Perf, I mean, what else does he look for when it comes to these battles? It's just
you're 100% right, man. It's favorite Nerf and Perf.
get the hook. So let's talk about Soul Six I then, why don't we? Also known as Soul A. So, Carlos, since you led this week's expedition, can you give an overview of Soul A for the audience?
Sure. You know, obviously you heard a lot of the story behind Soul Sec A through what we just heard. But also, as it was mentioned in the story, the main thing to be aware of is the lava. I mean, it's very easy to fall into if you're not paying attention. And this place is filled with tons of traps, such as fake floors and swinging axes. So be very, very careful when you're traversing through Soul 6A. Soul 6A is also can be seen as a very confusing location. It is quite a large dungeon. I mean, it took us, a couple of sessions to actually fully explore the zone. And there's quite a number of twists and turns, as well as, like we mentioned, the fake walls to be aware of when you're exploring. So keep that trusty map open at all times so you don't miss a turn. Also, I believe it's mainly split into three areas. You have the Gnomes Mining Company side, which is to the east. You have the Goblin Castle, which is to the south. And then I will call it pretty much the quote-unquote suburbs of the Goblin's Castle filling the rest, right? It's also important to know that since the zone is inhabited by short folks, this dungeon is not really ideal for any large races. So if you're a large feller, be ready to be crouching around every time you go from room to room. Also, there's quite a large amount of named mobs to be killed in this zone. The most notables are the Lord Gimblox. This is one of the ones that need it for the Cleric Epic Quest, which means that I'll have to eventually go back. Maybe you guys can accompany me. The Goblin King, the Captain, the Torturer as well. And there's also a gaggle of gnomes that are also named, but we didn't get to see them. There's also a couple of unique mobs too. You have the Reckless Freedy, who I think has one of the best models, in my opinion, in all of EverQuest. And there's also Singe. Do you remember the Fire Drake that was flying around?
Oh, wasn't he red?
Yes.
He's red, right? Fire Drake.
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Yeah, I liked him. And I think the Reckless Afridi was one of my favorites, too. For everybody listening, an Afridi looks like a genie. And Afridis, I believe, come from, again, this is like a D&D lore. They come from the City of Brass. There you go. Back in AD&D and all that stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
What's the City of Brass? Is that populated by those genies, or what's this deal with that?
Yeah, it's an older edition. They haven't really done it in 5th edition, so I don't know too much about it. But I know it's like a different plane of existence. And in that plane, they have like all these Afridis and kind of the mythical creatures you would find in kind of associated with like Middle Eastern lore.
Okay. So I guess they're not they don't grant wishes. That's just their look.
Some of them can. Yeah. Some of them can. Yeah. They grant wishes. So as a stat block also in Dungeons and Dragons, they'll grant you wishes.
Interesting.
They can do that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I agree. I like the Singe the Fire Drake. And the reason is he reminded me of the drakes in the Steamfont Mountains. I don't know if any of you remember those near Meldraff's labyrinth area.
Yeah. Behind the windmills in Steamfont Mountains. They're out there flying around with the earth elementals and the clockwork.
Yeah. Yeah, just
spiders.
Are those smaller or
no? They're the same size. They're the same size. It just we spent so much time there as gnomes back in the P99 type days that spending in Steamfall Mountains, you'd spend like level 1 to I think the average was like 12,
yeah,
or 13, like 12. And then we would go to what was it, the chessboard in the Butcher Block Mountains around level 12 to 15.
And then Oasis.
Oasis Crocodiles. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And the Orc Highway and the crocodiles over there. Or Unrest.
It doesn't exist anymore, by the way, Oasis.
It does. It's just merged.
Right, with South Row, right?
Yeah, it's interesting now. And it has new graphics, I believe. I walked the character through there just to reminisce of old times. And the Orc Highway, there's still a lot of orcs and zombies and a lot of mobs moving through that area. But there's nobody hunting there, at least on our server, the Eridune server. I didn't see anybody there.
And that's one thing, is seeing how some of these zones got changed and the little differences they put in there. I'm still not 100% sure if I... It's a little jarring when you're going through like the zones in the old world and it's like old school zone, and then just boom, it comes into like this new graphics and you're like, it's a little bit weird. Right. Like with Lucklin back in the day when they had the new graphics, it was kind of segregated from the rest of the game. So you had like the classic zones and it was less jarring. So I don't know if I'm coming around to it yet. It's just, I have to get used to it still is all I'm saying.
Or like walking into, I think the Nereak Forest is not updated, but the Common Lands is. It is.
No, both of them are updated. So the Common Lands and the Nektalos Forest are both updated.
Okay, graphics. But not Lava Storm Mountain, is it?
No, Lava Storm's updated Lava Storm. As well.
So do you like the decision to leave the old models still in, like, in different cities? So you can actually still see an old halfling, an old high elf, ogre, and such, like the different models, they still have them populating the NPCs? Do you like that?
Yeah, I do. I like it. I like going back and seeing the original zones. See them and, yeah, in their old glory. You know, the ogres that were like a big box. Like,
and you know how they always twitch? I don't know why. All the old characters twitch.
Like the halfling city when you walk in there and it's just all blocky. I prefer the new models of characters.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. In Lava Storm, actually, one of the models that actually impressed me, and I never noticed until I was one of those times we were doing the loot runs, we're going into the gypsy camp. And you know how they have those goblins just sitting out there in the camp?
Yeah, they look cool. The little red.
Aren't they crazy? Like the skin, like the model is amazing. The texture compared to the ones from Runny Eye that we've encountered and all the other ones. These are just so detailed.
Yeah.
I do agree. I like the new goblins. Like the old goblins, they look like they got like scoliosis or something. They're all like hunchbacked, you know, and they're like bent over and they can't really walk right. And they have their butt sticking out in the air with their pants down a little bit. It's just like, it's a little bit, they look kind of weird. But, you know, so like that kind of goes to the favorite part of the show here, sharing some of the funny moments from our adventures, or as Carlos likes to call it, who has an axe to grind. So before we begin, I'd like to give a special shout out here to some of our listeners who have joined us in game and have hunted with us in Sol A when we were there. So in alphabetical order, we have Bro Chacho, the Ogre Warrior, Fanny Pack, the Notorious Gnome Shadow Knight, also known as Kiefer the Wizard from our last episode in Unrest, Mojeka, the Dazzling Dark Elf Wizard, and Walk Don't Run, the powerful and trusty Wood Elf Warrior. And I just want to say, like, I have really been enjoying playing with them and meeting them and getting to have them in our Discord and like voice chat. Like playing with people who listen to our show is fun, but I think playing EverQuest with a full group of people, and at first you're strangers and then you get to know each other, it's so much fun, and I really enjoy that part of the game. And that brings me to my first favorite moment. So Fanny Pack, all right, we're there playing. We told them, there's this lava pit when you come into Sol A. So right when you walk in Sol A, there's like this windy path you have to go down, and there's a big lava pit you could fall in if you don't know what you're doing when you first enter. Super annoying, right? So right when he comes in the zone, we're on Discord, and we're like, hey, Fanny Pack, wait up, Forever Nerd. He's going to cast Levitate on you so that you don't fall in the lava pit and die. And he goes and he replies. He's like, and I'm going to take some creative liberties here, though. So, Fanny Pack, if you're listening, don't hate on me too much. But he's like, "Nah, man, I ain't no noob. I know what I'm doing." And moments later, what happens? We hear, "By Anoric's breath, I'm melting. Help!" So here's Fanny Pack melting away the lava pit like he's Darth Vader, you know. "I hate you!" Evernerd's looking down at him. Ed, chuckling, turns to me and says, "He could save others from death, but not himself." Ironic. And there, Fanny Pack had me dying of laughter, man. How about you guys?
Exactly. I can just picture it. You know, Fanny Pack crawling out of the lava like Anakin and Mustafar. But for me, I always got a kick out of Bro Chacho. I mean, this fellow was an ogre, so he was huge compared to us, right? We come up to his ankles. And like we said, so A is not very accommodating to the tall races. So every time we moved, you see this gigantic ogre just crouch walking around like through the doorways with about an inch of clearance. I'm like, oh my gosh, those poor knees, you know? It's crazy. I also wanted to express my gratitude to those poor souls that decided to join our group. Because if you remember, we play in a very unorthodox way. We don't sit around and stay in a specific location. Since we want to explore the full map and tackle any named mobs. So it can get quite hectic in a very short time span. So thank you guys for sticking with us. It was a lot of fun having a full group and seeing the best of what EQ has to offer. So, which is really the community itself.
Yes, I got a couple axes to grind here.
Oh boy! See, you have to come up with a theme song, like a short little snippet. I got an axe to grind.
That's in season two. Yes, I got a couple axes to grind here.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Yes, I got a couple axes to grind here.
Oh boy.
So, first off, as soon as we enter SoulSight A and see the lava pits, I think to myself, I got to start casting Levitate on everybody because I know somebody's going to come in here and just not even look around the corner and just go straight in. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. So, but then we go ahead and everyone starts coming in. I want to cast Levitate. People are like, no, we don't need Levitate. We don't need Levitate. So guess what happens? Somebody falls in. And I can't remember which one of you guys was first or fell in. It was both of you or one of you, but one of you fell in. So who was it? Fess up right now.
I can tell you who it was. It wasn't Nerf and Perf, and it wasn't Tickle Wings.
Really?
It starts with an S and ends with Tapster.
Yeah. It is Tapster. Yeah,
it was Tapster.
That's where we lost him.
Actually, we did both fall in, Stabster and I, but I gained it out like I always
exactly.
Did.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Never lives
there
again.
There it is. Wait, so you fell in, and what happened? You were able to gate out or what?
I was able to gate out as I watched Stabster melt away into the lava. He's like, help me! Help me! I say, get away from me, you scabby
that
man.
It's your trademark. You always gate out.
He has origin and gate. They never fail him. That's for sure.
If you're not first, you're last. That's why you got to go gate first. All right.
Wow. Anyways, so next, I'm going to retell my version of Fanny Pack coming to the zone. So we tell him to wait for Levitate at the zone because we're elsewhere. We're like, wait for Levitate. We're going to come by and give you Levitate because we don't want you to fall in the lava and deal with that. And he was coming from, I think, Steamfond Mountains. I think that's where he was bound. So, and this is before Planet Powers came out. He had to go to the Nexus. He had to get someone transported to the Nexus because he's a Shadow Knight. And then he had to go to the Common Lands and then walk his way over there. So it took him like 15, 20 minutes to get there. So he says, this is from what I heard. I don't need Levitate. I've been here plenty of times before. Well, what do you all think happened after that? Exactly. I mean, he falls right into the lava, right at the entrance, and dies.
Why are you bashing on this poor fanny pack? You're ready.
This is the truth that has to be told, man. And this is where, and I think, like I said, he was bound in either Greater Fade Arc or Steamfog Mountains, one of them. So we had to wait. You know, another what? 15.
Oh, okay. No, he resurrected. Carlos Ticklewings resurrected him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're nice. Back.
Yeah. Okay, you got res finally.
That's a very rare occasion when you get to witness a Ticklewings resurrection.
Oh, okay. I think the issue we were having is getting the body out of the lava. I think that was the issue because you were trying to find it. You got the consent and you were trying to get it out. I think that was the issue, if I remember correctly.
I forget who got it. Was it you?
Was getting the body out. I forget. I think we went down there and Levitate and we recovered the body. We had to do a body excavation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we had Bro Chacho, the ogre warrior, right? And this guy was a beast. He could take a hit. But Carlos said, like Carlos said, the funny thing is that this character was too big to fight half the battles in the zone. He was so tall and the hallways are so small. So he's observing a lot of the battles as we're walking through the zone, and we didn't have a spell to shrink them. but he did fall into the lava once, and he stayed alive for like 10 plus minutes taking damage. I don't understand how he must have been the biggest twink ever, because he took so much damage from the lava, and I think I had to eventually go down in there and cast evacuate and get us back to the beginning of the zone, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's a very great asset to have in there. And then lastly, the funniest moment that occurred here was when we're all fighting mobs in a room, and out of nowhere, I'm sitting in the back. Everyone else is there in the front because I'm casting, you know, area effect spells. And in all I see is some image of a blur, something zipped by me. And we had seen a high-level bard in the zone prior, so that's what I'm assuming it was. And you saw a train of about 20-plus mobs come right in there and start pounding away on our group. So I immediately began the casting evacuate, which takes about 10 seconds. And right when the 10 seconds was done, it was apparently gotten interrupted somewhere in between there. So at this point, Carlos was dead. Anthony, did you evacuate out? I mean, did you gate out or did you die?
I origined out of there, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go, folks.
Yeah. Hey, what do you want me to do? Die with you all? Get out of there, man.
So, okay, so he ordered out. Carlos, you went down, right? Is that correct,
yeah,
Carlos?
Yeah, I did. I did go down.
Okay, you went down.
He always goes down. He always goes down. I don't know what's going on with him.
What do you think? What?
And he has, let me ask. Do you have that stupid invulnerability spell taking up the spell slot?
No, okay. I took it out.
Good. Don't say anything.
No, because... Worked. Yeah, no, because if you do invulnerability, then you can be gated out. Like if you do evac and I do the invulnerability, you wouldn't take me with you.
Do you know that? You read that?
Because it already happened once.
How's it been working out for you?
It happened to us. I think it happened to us in.
Have you been getting evac? Have you been getting evac'd out without dying? Have you ever been evac'd?
Quite a handful of times, yeah.
Okay.
Because most of the times what happens is if our main tank goes down, or if I'm healing like crazy because of the train, obviously I'm going to get all the aggro. So either our tank goes first, which is usually Walk, Don't Run, or in this case, Fanny Pack as well, then they go after me. And then, Evernerd, you would get quite a few because you were rooting the crap out of them, right? So sometimes you also get some aggro. But of course, the Enchanter, not a care in the world. He has plenty of time to get the gate out.
It is funny how that plays out.
But that's the main reason why you will always see me dying, right? Because I'm the one who's going to get the most aggro. Because I'm trying to heal our tank and keep him up.
You know he's dying. Yeah. I never even hear you dying. You don't never talk when you're dying. Oh, what am I? It's just like,
here's the thing, though.
Hey, I'm dying.
No. I will tell you when I'm low mana. No, I will tell you when I'm low mana. So I'm hoping that by then, you see the situation's dire. I would think the evac is already being casted. So the only thing I got to do is keep whoever's getting hit the most, keep them alive until the evac goes through. There's no point in me to freak out and I'm dying. No, I'm dying. There's no point, right?
Oh, this is how it goes to the eyes out there. Hey, I'm at 10% mana. Hey, guys, I'm dead. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, man? You gotta call it out. you gotta say you're getting hit so we can help.
This is how Nerf and Furf plays. Hey guys, I'm out of mana.
Origin, boom! Origin,
I'm out of mana. Like, we'll cast an Origin. Evacuate.
I got. He's like, all right, guys, I'm a half mana, 50% mana, 50%, and all of a sudden, the next thing that we hear is, I'm out of mana. Can't do anything else. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, in this situation, since my first evacuation got interrupted, I think the only people standing out, like Moheka went down, the wizard, Tickle Winks went down, Nerf and Burf was gone, and we had Fanny Pack, Shatter Knight, we had the warrior, and myself. So I start casting it again, and I see Fanny Pack go down very rapidly because they were all focused on him. Boom. Then they were all hitting. This is like 15-plus mobs hitting this Brochacho guy, and his life is going down so slow. Very slowly, the cast of the thing. Like, this guy's a beast. And I finally got it off, like, when he had life, boom, got back. But he stayed there the entire time, like a true warrior. He was going to take the fall. And all these guys, you know, jokes aside, all these guys played their characters very great, and we're thankful for the help that they provided to us.
Yeah. But I have to agree with you. All you saw was a blur of the bard. I couldn't even get a good look at him. He was going so fast. This is like, whoop, and then you couldn't find him in the zone. So
yeah, that's the problem with that zone is, remember, there was these high levels. I don't know if they were power leveling or farming some items, but they were spread out throughout the zone. And what they do is they have a bard go pull all the mobs that he can and take them to a specific location. So if you're in their way, you're going to get killed.
Overall, though, I'll second that. Derek, I really enjoyed playing with all of them. I look forward to playing more with them. And I think the zone overall was a great zone. I really liked it. It was a good thematic zone. I liked that we killed the Goblin King there and all the different Goblin Lords, and we got to see all that stuff. So if you're hunting in a classic zone and you want to get some good loot too, there's a lot of good loot there. So I recommend it. Final verdict from you all. What do you say?
I am not too thrilled about the zone. Zones with goblins? I don't know. It's just... they don't do it for me.
Too twisty, too windy, like runny eye.
Like runny eye. It's just little tunnels, a lot of twists and turns, and the goblins themselves are not that exciting of a model to look at. So I don't know. And it was one of those zones that, like we said, had a bunch of other people, right. So we didn't get to fully experience it like we wanted to, because they were killing specific mobs that we wanted to get to, and we didn't get around to them. So that's my take on it.
I think it was very diverse compared to other zones that we've been in. I mean, you had very, very defined areas. Like you had the gnome area, the goblins, as well as, you know, those different name mobs populating the different size of the zone. One thing we didn't touch on, remember the, sorry for, you know, walking us back to the funny moments. Do you remember who was it that died, like got one shot by one of the traps? Like it was one of those closing, it was like a closing.
Was it Stabster?
Was it Stabster?
Or Fanny Pack or Walk the Run? Was it one of them? They got hit by the axe? Yeah, those axes, like they one shot you and you die. I thought that was so weird.
Sometimes. I remember getting hit by one. It took like a fraction of a damage, but maybe it was a direct hit.
Someone got hit once. And it just like went boom, and they died.
But overall, I did like the zone. I like the fact that you have a castle. You go in there. It's very organized. You even have a bar with darts. Remember? They had dart boards.
Yeah.
And then if you go through to the different rooms, you find these unique mobs like the Afridi, as well as there was a kobold as well, the predator in the zone itself, by itself. So I honestly recommend it. Just be extra careful and do not go if you're a tall race, only if you're a little guy. But yeah I recommend it.
There we have it, folks. Soulsack A, and check it out yourself. See what you think. So thank you all for listening today. We hope we've earned your subscription and 5-star rating and review. And if you want to get a hold of us, you know where you can reach us on Twitter @return2EQ. So join us again in 2 weeks as we head to Mistmore Castle. See you there.